on Jacksonville Talk Radio WBOB.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Hi, folks. John Fredericks here. If you're like me, you may be among the millions of Americans who feel uncertainty when it comes to their health care. We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded people that work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you get to choose your doctor and your hospital. Liberty HealthShare allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access your health care. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is the way health care should be, and it's been great for me and my family. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org, and regain control of your health care cost. As a member since January 2015, Liberty HealthShare has been a godsend for our family. Together, we're changing health care for good.
This just in, breaking news, all 12 of the soccer players, all 12 boys and their soccer coach have been rescued from the flooded cave in Thailand. So all 12 of them now safe and rescued, and their coach. And boy, we want to give our congratulations to our prayers being answered, and these boys out with their coach. What an ordeal they went through, but they're safe and sound, and boy, we're so glad to hear that. That is a great way to start a day. A great way to start a day. You're on the John Fredericks Radio Network. Just said Sidney Powell on, and I want to read you a text here from Mike in Chesapeake who says, I love Sidney Powell. She's great. And I'm buying her book today, License to Lie. See? There you go, Sidney. Come on my show. You sell your book. So go ahead and buy that, Mike. I've read that two times. Great book. Got to read it, License to Lie. Curtis Ellis coming up. Meantime, Boris Johnson quits as UK Foreign Secretary amid the Brexit crisis. And basically now two ministers from Theresa May's cabinet gone, both saying that she's sold out to the European Union. And the Brexit strategy that she has is turning, Boris Johnson says, turning the United Kingdom into a colony of the European Union. So they're quitting. And the Theresa May government, not long for this world. Meantime, the president heading to Europe today with the First Lady. Joining us now to break all this down. We got SCOTUS. We got Brexit. We've got immigration. We've got rulings on the border for no borders. We got it all here in one segment. Curtis Ellis, America First Policy Senior Advisor. Great to have you with us, Curtis.
Hey, it's great to be here, John. I'll tell you one question. You know everything. You are the all-knowing.
Thank you.
Our fearless chosen leader, John Fredericks. One more issue I would like to add to this segment.
Yes.
As if that was not enough. Has anybody asked, if anybody knows, you would know, why did the coach bring the boys into the cave in the first place?
They were going on an exploratory trip, as I understand it.
I mean, I'm glad they're out. Now that they're out and safe, can we ask that question?
They were.
What the hell were they doing going into a cave in monsoon season?
They were exploring like little campers do. And so they were exploring.
Okay.
And so he thought this would be a neat thing to do. And then the monsoons came and they couldn't get out and they were stuck there a long time. Luckily, they had enough food to survive. But
yeah.
You certainly would have to question the judgment of the troop leader.
Let's go on to the important stuff.
But that is a good
question. And it's Thailand. They don't have signs up everywhere telling you can't do this, you can't do that. It's dangerous, it's not dangerous. This is the real world out there, right?
Well, if they had signs like we do, then they would know that they shouldn't go in there. Beware of monsoon season.
Beware, now, that's right.
See, we can joke about it now because they're all
afraid. Crazy signs all over the place. You can't drink coffee, you might get cancer. You know, it's Thailand, it's not California.
Meantime, the Democrats are running around with their hair on fire. I mean, the hysteria. I was on CNN last night, Curtis, and just on the set there, the hysteria of the guest after guest, whether it was Jennifer Graham, the former governor of Michigan, or Brett Fallon, I guess he was the press secretary for Hillary Clinton. I guess he advised her not to go to Wisconsin or something. But they're just incensed by this whole thing. I mean, I don't see how they derailed Kavanaugh. This guy is so qualified, right?
He is so qualified, but they're going to dig through all of his opinions. See, I think it's a great choice by President Trump. I mean, this is just amazing. For so long, the playbook among Republicans was hide, hide, go into a defensive crouch. We're going to pick somebody who doesn't have a paper trail. We're going to pick somebody who doesn't, no one knows what they believe in because we're afraid to stand up for what we believe in. So we'll just pick somebody that is a zero. That way they can't pick on their record and go through the record and find some reason to object. They'll always object. Donald Trump is not afraid to fight. And so he picked somebody with a solid conservative record, a solid constitutionalist record. I mean, I love this guy, Brett Kavanaugh. He wrote opinion saying an illegal alien worker is not a legal employee in the United States, period, full stop.
So no,
you know,
rights.
If you're here illegally, you cannot be considered a legal employee, which is a legal term, right? Legal employees are entitled to this, they're entitled to that. You can't fire them. You got to give them a promotion. You got to pay them overtime. If you're here illegally, you're not a legal employee, and you're not entitled to the rights of a citizen, kind of thing. He says that. He acknowledges that Congress has traditionally and always irrefutably favored American industry over foreign competition. You know, you're going to get some Cato Institute libertarian freaking out over that. It's like, oh, my gosh, that's protectionism. Oh, my gosh, we're supposed to treat the slave labor camps in China the same as American industries. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, what are you talking about? It's a global economy. Brett Kavanaugh says this is the world, okay? This is the way the world, the real world works. So Donald Trump is, let's have that argument. Let's let the Democrats say, what are you doing standing up for American workers? How dare you do that? Oh, my gosh, you're not qualified to sit on the Supreme Court. You make a distinction between American citizens and illegal aliens. Let's have that argument. That's what Donald Trump said. So it's great. Yeah, the Democrats are going to freak out over everything. They probably said Judge Souter was a, you know, right wing extremist, and, you know, Joseph Goebbels in a black robe, you know. I mean, anytime a Republican nominates somebody for the Supreme Court, the sky is falling, it's the end of the Constitution, it's a dire threat to the Republic. It's what it is, it's nonsense. And one other thing I gotta say, for all those people, all those never Trumpers, you know who you are out there, senators. You know who you are, Mr. Flake. You know who you are, Mr. Corker. For all those people who said, well, I just said, you know, Evan McMuffin, the light bulb guy from Utah, who ran for president and got, like, zero votes.
Well,
are you happy now?
I mean, look.
You voted for Hillary Clinton. Would she have picked somebody like this?
Yeah.
Who would she have picked?
Yeah. I said that earlier about the Never Trumpers. I can't believe you said that because I don't know where they go from here. I mean, if they said, well, Trump's not a conservative, he's not conservative enough, you just got unbelievably conservative judges with long records put on the Supreme Court. And I love the point that you made about not running away from the record, because that's what wrought David Souter on us. Because once in a while you pick one of these people and you say, oh, there's no record, they can't do anything to him. But then there's no record, so you don't really know where they stand, which is what happened with David Souter, who became one of the most liberal judges we had, picked, as you know, by George H. So, look, he's got a record. He's going to defend it. look, there is nothing in his record that is going to derail any of these Republicans. And could you imagine, how could you now be Susan Collins or Lisa Murkowski or even John McCain if he can make it here on an airplane? How are you going to vote against Brett Kavanaugh and stay in the Republican Party? I mean, the question would be, why are you even here? Right?
Right.
I mean, you are going to get run out of the party. I mean, this guy is so clean. And, you know, as far as the criticism, like, I don't like George H. Bush. I don't like George W. Bush. I don't like any of the Bushes. I don't like Jeb. I don't even like Laura. Right. I don't like any of them. So, I mean, I get it. I don't like Laura. Ever since she came out with that comment criticizing the president, I'm like, you know what? If you want to start talking about your husband's record, look, I'll be happy to have you come on my show and we can spend 4 hours talking about what a disastrous president your husband's been. I have no problem with that. But look, I don't like any of them. But if you look at his record, I mean, this is an unbelievably constitutionally conservative judge, and some of the things that he's written and done, I think, are going to be very difficult for a Republican to say, well, I don't like him because, or I'm going to vote against him because, coupled with the fact that Collins and Murkowski have both voted for every Trump judge and they voted for every Supreme Court judge, and they've been there both sides. I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see it. And, you know, they say, well, Rand Paul might vote against him because he doesn't have the right opinion on the fourth, the Fourth Amendment searches of metadata and, you know, electronic surveillance. Again, as you said, how could somebody not vote for this guy and line up with the Democrats
and still be a member
of the Republican Party?
Let's just play this out. Let's say he got derailed for some reason. All right. For some reason, the Republicans are going to gain seats in the Senate in the midterms, right? There's no math to have them lose. I'm going to pick up 5 seats. They're going to gain seats. So the Democrats are going to be worse off. I don't know where they're going with this, you know, other than they have to all out progressive each other and run around with their hair on fire and all hysteria.
Well,
and you saw that
last
night.
And they're hoping to derail him and then force Trump to pick somebody that, Merrick Garland or Garrick Marland or, you know, Marlon Fitzwater, or whoever the hell that they didn't confirm that Hillary Clinton would have picked.
So what,
you know, I love it.
Right.
The assumption of the media is obviously we all know that they're a branch of the DNC.
Right.
But the assumption always is Trump campaigned on this. He got elected on this. But now that he's in office, he should do what Hillary did.
Right. And it's incredible.
That's what reasonable people do.
Like, elections
what are you
have
doing picking a conservative?
Unbelievable.
Well, that's what I said I was going to do. I actually put the names out there when I was campaigning. And I was like, well, he should pick this is like insane, this type of person. No, it's not. He's actually quite – he's got a good record. He's got a long record. Everybody – he's been out there for years. No one's ever criticized him or called him a crazy before. Why are you starting now?
We're with Curtis Ellis. He is a senior policy advisor for America First Policies. More information, go to AmericaFirstPolicies.org. And you're on the John Fredericks Radio Network, your Godzilla of the truth in America. Curtis, let's get to another judge's ruling. All these judges, right? Yesterday ruling that the Trump administration plan at the border for zero tolerance, so that if someone crosses the border illegally with a child in tow, a minor child in tow, and they cannot elude authorities, because that's really what they try to do, is elude the authorities and disappear into the interior of the country. If they get apprehended and they throw up their hands and claim asylum, and they have a minor child, a judge ruled they can't be apprehended, they can't be held with the child. So basically what they're saying is you have to release them or not have a border or just let everybody in. I mean, what do they expect now the president and the administration to do?
They expect the president to throw up his hands and do what Hillary Clinton would have done. That's what they're doing. It's more, again, the same syndrome. There is only one right set of policies, and that's the globalist no borders policy that the voters rejected at the ballot box last November in the last cycle. And we're going to determine what the laws are from the bench. We're the judges. I love what Sidney Powell said. The Border Patrol, under statutes, the law says the Border Patrol agents have the discretion to turn away and send these people back and say, sorry, that's not a credible claim of asylum. You can't stay here. No, that's the due process. It's in the law. That is due process. They're allowed to say that. Sorry, not a credible claim of asylum. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Do not get a free pass into our country. You go back to where you came from, or at least go back across the border.
So how do they do that? You. They got to ship them there, right?
Yeah. You know, give them a bus. That's what they used to do with welfare people, claiming welfare in New York and in California. They give them a bus ticket back home,
right.
You know, back to Wyoming or, you know, wherever.
Well, what the judges said is basically is there's no U.S. border just to erase them because, as I've said 100 times, catch and release is an open border policy. You get caught, you get released, 15% show up. The other 85% disappear. You can't find them. So basically you have an open border situation. Now what the Democrats want, that's not good enough. They don't even want that. They don't like the 15% that come back. They don't want any borders. They want to erase the country, and they've got judges being complicit with them. So,
oh, that's right. They want to erase citizenship. They don't think there should be such a thing as citizenship. Everybody should be able to go wherever the hell they want. They haven't thought this through. It's a complete emotional reaction. Oh, those poor people. She's being beaten by her husband, or at least that's what she says. And so we're going to believe that. We don't even know if these people showing up with kids, if they're actually the parents.
Right.
We don't
no
know
idea.
That.
Right.
And there's
no
a story knows. In the New York Times from 2014 of human traffickers. I mean, these are unrelated people. Mm. Who knows what they're going to do with that kid when they get to the United States?
That's
maybe
right.
Sell them into slavery to work in a, you know, landscape place. Who knows?
No one
you
knows.
Don't know. We don't know if they're actually the parents.
Right.
But we assume they are, right?
Right. Because
just
there's
like
no
Time
paperwork.
Magazine assumes that child was ripped from the bosom
right.
of the mother. No, she wasn't.
No paper.
But it's a great story, and you don't let facts get in the way of a good story. That's the way it is these days. And they want a sanctuary nation, right? Not sanctuary city, not sanctuary state, sanctuary nation, where all the people from all over the world can come here because we are bleeding heart liberals and we'll just take care of everybody. And there's a poem on the base of the Statue of Liberty that says, give us your poor, your tired, and your huddled masses. And we're going to take that literally. Unfortunately, look, it doesn't work. We're not Noah's Ark. We're not a sanctuary nation. We are a nation. And Sam Gompers said this. Sam Gompers was the founder of the AFL, as in AFL-CIO, the American mm-hmm. Federation of Labor. He was a labor activist. You know, when they threw labor activists in jail, when they shot them, when they killed them, he fought for the 40-hour work week, the 5-day work week, all that. And he said, we can't have unrestricted immigration. He said the big companies are bringing in cheap labor from overseas. They're putting people on boats, bringing them in. At that time, it was from Europe, mm-hmm. right? Because the people
right.
down south were happy to stay there on the farm. But they were bringing in people from Europe who would work, undercut the wages of the American workers and work in the factories and in the mines. And he said, no, we can't have that. We've got to restrict immigration. And he talked to his people in Italy,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where a lot of them were coming from. This is like the 1890s, 1900s.
Right.
They were coming over from Italy. And he says, look, I know you folks are coming here because it's better here than it is there. But we need you to stay there and work for better conditions in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
If you all come here, it's never going to get better in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
So you... He was talking to labor organizers in Italy, and he said, don't send your people to America. Organize them back home. So all of these immigrant activists in Los Angeles and everywhere in America, they should be teaching these people, these Guatemalans and Hondurans, how to organize for better conditions in Honduras.
In their country. Exactly.
In their country. Make their countries better. Because I tell you what, they would rather be in their country with their grandmothers and their grandfathers and their cousins and their families and everything else in the land that they know, where they can pick a mango on the tree and they know where the tree is and everything else. That's where they'd rather be, actually. Give them the backbone, give them the guts, give them the tools, teach them to be community organizers in Honduras.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, that's what they should do. And if they were doing that, we'd all be for it, right? Because if they did that, then they would improve working conditions there. We'd get out of the slave trade network there as well as here, and then they wouldn't have to come here.
Right.
Now,
I
got 3 minutes to get to Brexit. Boris Johnson quits as the UK foreign secretary. He says that Theresa May is not really exiting Brexit, that all the compromises she's made with the European Union basically has turned the United Kingdom into a colony, and that it's a phantom exit. What say you?
Yes, exactly right. Theresa May is a huge disappointment. You look what's going on over there with the immigration, with the grooming gangs, with Tommy Robinson being put in jail because he was reporting on a trial. And this is a Tory government. This is a conservative government. Theresa May is like the old, is like the never Trump Republicans in America. She's a conservative in name only. I guess that makes her a Chino. I don't know. But she's, or Cano. They're stuck in the old way of thinking. Theresa May really didn't want Brexit, and she's trying to make believe it's Brexit, so it's a make believe Brexit, and her entire cabinet is falling apart, and pretty soon she may be falling apart.
Well, look, I mean, the voters of the UK voted to get out of Brexit. May didn't want to do that. She's been dragging her feet. Now she's losing ministers. Her government is tottering. She's likely to get replaced. But it is amazing to me how these politicians think they can just betray the will of the voters. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're in the United States or United Kingdom or Sweden, wherever you are. They just think that, like, they're smarter than the voter. Vote was illegitimate. And the voters didn't know what they're doing, and half of them are too stupid to have a job. And so we know better, and so we'll maneuver our way around it and basically make believe it'll be paper. What she is doing is the exit from Brexit from the UK is a paper exit. It's not real because they still have all these conditions, all this trade, all the stuff they have to do. So it's on paper only. And I think her government's going to fall, as it should.
I think so, too. Look, this goes right back to the progressive ideal in the 1900s, where society is so sophisticated now that democracy is outdated. We're just going to have professional politicians and technocrats that they'll be able to make the decisions because people really aren't sophisticated enough. We'll take care of it from here. And this is another manifestation of that.
Curtis Ellis, America First Policy. It's great to have you with us, man. Always a pleasure. Thanks for your insight.
The recent Fed decision to continue raising interest rates, coupled with strong economic growth, has led to a wave of people coming off the sidelines and entering the home purchase market. Hi, I'm Mark Livingstone with Cornerstone First Financial, and we haven't seen this kind of competition among home buyers in over 10 years. What does this mean to you? When purchasing a home, it's imperative that you align yourself with a partner that can put you in a position to win the contract. We'll get you the best deal and at the same time educate you about all your mortgage choices, whether a refinance or purchase. We guarantee we'll meet or beat any competitor on this very station, or we'll pay your mortgage for an entire year. Some restrictions apply. If you're ready to get on top of this wave, call us today. Ask about our Hometown Heroes program. Make this the year you finally buy that home. Our number is 866-625-1221. That's 866-625-1221. And our website is cornerstonefirst.com.
NMLS ID 183265, consumeraccess.org.
You're listening to the John Frederick Show. Common sense for the Commonwealth. On great radio stations across Virginia and online anytime at thejohnfrederickshow.com.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. One firefighter has died fighting a wildfire near Yosemite National Park today. The blaze near the west end of the Yosemite National Park and the Sierra National Forest has burned about 130 acres and has forced the closure of Highway 140 from Mid Pines to El Portal. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary says there are no signs that Russia's targeting the 2018 midterm elections for cyber attacks with the, quote, scale and scope that it used in 2016. Kirstjen Nielsen spoke Saturday at a Philadelphia conference of U.S. state secretaries of state. Nielsen's boss, President Trump, has not said Russia tried to influence the elections, and Russia has denied interfering. Charges against 12 Russian military intelligence officers for the U.S. election hacking undermined denials by WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange that the Russian government was the source. This is SRN News.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a health care plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
At Underwoods, we know what it takes to be one of the South's most trusted jewelers. Our reputation was made by carrying the finest quality. I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods, and we're proud to bring Forevermark diamonds to North Florida. Only 1% of the world's diamonds are eligible to become Forevermark. They're the world's most carefully selected diamonds that you can be proud to give and wear forever. The Forevermark icon invisibly inscribed on each diamond is proof of the Forevermark promise that each diamond is beautiful, rare, and responsibly sourced. Their exceptional beauty is unleashed by the world's finest craftsmen using skill and artistry passed down by generations. Forevermark diamonds benefit the communities from which they're sourced and are individually cared for from the mine to her finger. Underwoods is Jacksonville's authorized Forevermark jeweler, so make the right decision and come by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, and the Shops of Ponte Vedra.
WBOB tackles the issues.
When I look at some of these mass shootings that have happened in the past, a lot of these teachers had to sacrifice themselves to protect their students. Well, why not put them in the best position to fight back?
Every day.
Federal district judge in California expanded the ruling to say that even accompanied children can't be held for more than 20 days. I don't see how they can unless Congress gets its act together and passes legislation.
WBOB, your 2018 election authority. The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
There's a crash on I-95 heading northbound at Edgewood Avenue, that's north of downtown. Also, a couple of other accidents close by on the East Beltway, both northbound and southbound near the North Main Street US 17 exit there. All right, scattered showers and thunderstorms continue through tonight. Some of the rain could be heavy. 78 degrees now in Jacksonville. I'm AJ, Talk Radio WBOB.
I am your Godzilla of the truth in America, the president, having quite the day today. He's in Brussels right now. We understand he's going to have a standalone meeting. We just got this in with Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany at 3:15 p.m. today. That is 3:15 p.m., of course, European time, six, 7 hours ahead of us. and with President Emmanuel Macron of France at 4 o'clock. There'll be no coverage of either meeting. This just put out by the White House. Sarah Sanders, the president's press secretary, said she didn't want to get ahead of the agenda for either conversation, but she said she expected the president to reiterate to Merkel what she said this morning at the Spray, which is kind of the press gaggle, and we're going to wait and see what goes on with that. But right now, that is where we're at with the president's meeting with Merkel and Macron, which is going to be coming up this afternoon. And we will keep you posted with that here on the John Fredericks Radio Network, Trucking the Truth Across America. And quite the day, we're going to start on the international scene. The president going to NATO, to the NATO summit, in a heated exchange with the NATO chief ahead of the summit. The president was fiercely critical of Germany for importing gas from Russia. Now, President Trump told NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg yesterday that Germany is, I say yesterday, it's actually today there, remember, there's 7 hours ahead, that Germany is captive to Russia because it is importing energy from there, in a heated exchange with the NATO chief ahead of a summit today in Brussels. The president was fiercely critical of German oil and gas imports from Russia. Let me tell you how this breaks down. And by the way, we appreciate you being with us today. Trump said it was very inappropriate, his words, very inappropriate, in quotes, for the U.S. to be paying for European defense from Russia while Germany is supporting gas deals with Moscow. Now, here's the president's view. He said they pay the Germans billions of dollars to Russia, and we have to defend them against Russia. This is what Trump told Stoltenberg at a breakfast meeting yesterday. He said, Germany, as far as I'm concerned, is captive to Russia because it's getting so much of their energy from Russia. And why am I paying for their defense? Or why are we paying for their defense? Stoltenberg conceded that there was disagreement between NATO allies over a natural gas pipeline deal between Germany and Russia, but said that the organization's strength is that despite these differences, he said, we have always been able to unite around our cause to protect and defend each other. Now, Berlin has been very supportive of building a second pipeline to transport Russian natural gas straight to Germany through the Baltic Sea, despite objections from other EU countries that the pipeline would increase the bloc's dependence on Russia's energy. Now, the U.S. has previously warned it could impose sanctions if the project goes ahead. Trump is going to meet Chancellor Angela Merkel today at 3:15 EU time as these leaders meet. Now, the 29-member military alliance's annual meetings have traditionally been kind of like, you know, they go by the book, right? But the expectations this year different, thanks in large to President Trump and some of the comments he's made. And Trump has been openly critical, as you know, of many NATO's practices, often railing against Washington spending more money on defense than other member states. And that criticism warranted. Germany's only paying about 1%. They're supposed to pay 2%. So the bottom line here is this. The Germans have a right to import their energy from wherever they please. And I'm in favor of pipelines. And if the German government decides in Berlin that they are better served, their energy needs are served by a second gas pipeline going from Russia to Berlin, a natural gas pipeline, and they cut that deal with Russia, that's their business. I mean, as far as us putting sanctions on anybody is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, this is where we get in trouble, where we start intervening in other countries' affairs. It's different. It's one thing to say, look, we have an agreement. We all shook hands. You're supposed to pay 2% of your gross domestic product into your own defense. You're paying 1%. I'm not picking up the bill. And what Trump is saying is, look, it is absolutely illogical for us to be funding your defense against Russia when you're giving Russia money for natural gas and building a pipeline. That doesn't make any sense. Take the money and defend yourself. That's legitimate for Trump. That's legitimate for the U.S. to make that assertion, in my judgment. You pay your fair share. We're getting our troops out of there. Why we have 30,000 troops in Germany is beyond me. No one can answer me that question. What, are they afraid of an invasion by who? Greece? And the whole thing is ridiculous. We need to get those troops out of there, get our kids home, get rid of those bases, and let them deal with it. And if the Germans have enough money to pay the Russians in order to do pipelines and buy their natural gas, then so be it. But that has nothing to do with us. Either way, it's Germany's deal. Let them import all the natural gas from Russia they want and let us get out of Germany, get our troops out of there, and let them pay their fair share, which is 2% of their GDP, into their own defense. And we shouldn't be subsidizing it because, again, I want you to grasp what Trump said. Why am I funding your national defense because you're underfunding it by 1% of your GDP, which is billions of dollars? So I'm funding your national defense and you're taking that money and you're buying gas from Russia, giving them hard cash, which is the country that I'm supposed to spend money defending you against. How does that make any sense? Answer, it doesn't. You know it doesn't. I know it doesn't. It makes no sense whatsoever. So that's basically what the president's saying here. Now, this meeting in Brussels today is the meeting of the 29-member Military Alliance's annual meetings. Now, you know, we've covered these before with Obama, Clinton, George Bush 1, George Bush 2, whatever. Nobody cares, right? You go through the motions, they have champagne, they clink glasses, and, you know, we continue to get screwed. Not this time. This president is putting you first. And we're getting out of these deals or we're changing them because they're not to our benefit. Now, I'm going to get into trade in a minute. Now, the president has been openly critical of NATO's practices. Here's what he's saying. You know, he sent a tweet out about the funding of NATO. This is a recurring theme of his criticism. And many countries in NATO, which we are expected to defend if something happens, are not only short of their current agreement commitment of 2%, which, by the way, is very low, but are also delinquent for many years and payments have not been made. Are they going to reimburse anybody? So not only have most of these countries been under the 2%, some of them have made zero. Zero they paid. On Tuesday, NATO said that 7 out of 27 European members were on track to meet the 2% spending target. Britain, Greece, Latvia, Estonia, Poland, Lithuania, and Romania. Let me read these to you again. Britain, Greece, Latvia, Estonia, Poland, Lithuania, and Romania, 7 to 27 countries. 7 of 20. That means 20 of the 27 countries didn't do crap as far as meeting the commitment that they made. Yes, it's not a legal document. Yes, you can't. You can't enforce it, but if you have a handshake, you have a handshake. I mean, this is supposed to be your ally. Look, people say, well, look at the way the president's treating our allies. Well, with allies like these, who needs enemies? Now, NATO members are going to be told today by the president of the United States that their spending is not sufficient and they're not owning up to their end of the deal. Now, ahead of the meeting, European Council President Donald Tusk took Trump to task for, he said, criticizing Europe almost daily. Well, I think he should do it twice a day. Look, we bailed these people out twice. I mean, the fact that, you know, all this hugging and kissing with France. Let's see. Let's get to these seven countries again. Britain, Greece, Latvia, Estonia, Poland, Lithuania, and Romania. Where's France? If it hadn't been for us, you wouldn't have a France. They'd all be speaking German. Like, where's their 2%? Macron comes in, hugs and kisses, high fives. Where's your 2%, dude? Pony up. Talk is cheap. Hugs are cheap. I want money. And Tusk went on to say in a tweet, "Dear President Trump, America does not have and will not have a better ally than Europe. Today, Europeans spend on defense many times more than Russia and as much as China. Dear America, appreciate your allies. Dear European Union, pay up or shut up." NATO's presence in Eastern Europe, Eastern European countries, they're looking forward to this summit. They want to increase the number of troops stationed in their countries as a show of strength toward Russia. Great. European troops, not ours. When are we going to get out of this thing where we have to put troops all over the globe? You want to show that you've got troops in Eastern Europe because you're not comfortable with the number of Russian military apparatus on your or near your border? Go to Europe, go to France, go to Italy, get troops. Why should we be sending our troops there? I mean, why? Can anybody answer me on the radio today this question? I don't care where you are in America. Like, why is it our troops that have to go to Eastern Europe? Why doesn't Eastern European troops go to Eastern Europe? Or European troops? Or German troops? Or Italian troops? Or French troops? Or UK troops? Or Belgian troops? Why U.S. troops? I want out. Here's what Poland said. Since we joined NATO, we felt like a second-grade member of the alliance because we could not have permanent or even temporary NATO bases here. This was former Polish ambassador to Afghanistan. Now, the Polish Defense Ministry has proposed setting up a joint armored division that would have 15,000 U.S. troops and a total of 250 tanks and armored vehicles. Why would we put 15,000 U.S. troops in Poland? You know, here's the problem. Once they're there, you'll never get rid of them, and you'll be paying for that forever. And then the military-industrial complex, once they have a new source of what to spend money on, they'll be clamoring for perpetuity, and they'll say, well, 15,000 isn't enough. We need 50, 30, 40,000, right? 250 tanks. Oh, that can't do it. We need 750 tanks. And we need half-tracks and Hummers and machine guns and this and that and forts and supplies, and they get bigger. Let the Poles put their 15,000 troops there. I mean, the Russians are not going to invade Warsaw. I mean, let's stop. This is such nonsense. The good thing is we finally have a president that's questioning all this crap. Other NATO countries are expanding their presence in Eastern Europe, with Canada announcing it would extend its military presence in Latvia for another 4 years. Great. Canada, hey, man-child Trudeau, good idea. Let's get your armies there. What about Australia, Mexico? I don't know, Guatemala, Barbados. Like, put troops there. I don't want any. There's a whole world. They've all got troops. Let them put them there. I don't see Australia putting anybody there. How about New Zealand? Turn this over to the man-child, Trudeau. Let him figure it out. I want to get out of these countries, get our troops home, and build bridges, not make tanks for Poland. Eddie Uranian, live in Cairo. Eddie, good to have you with us, our man in the Middle East. Been with the John Frederick Show for 8 years. Thank you for your patience. Eddie also is a senior correspondent with The Voice of America and with CBS Radio News in Cairo, Egypt. Eddie, great to have you.
Thank you, John. Let's try to give lots of facts and information to your guests as they're requesting.
That is, they want facts, right? I'm the fact show. So, but you're still going to be entertaining, right? Because facts can be dry and boring. What you say, though, has to be based on facts. Okay. So the president storming NATO today, right, basically started off with a fight with the NATO ambassador. Started fighting with him immediately, saying, look, you guys got to pay your fair share. Then he blasts Merkel in Germany and says, you want me to pay for your defense, but you're giving Russia billions of dollars and building a new pipeline, pay for your own defense. What do you make of it?
Well, the arguments President Trump has made are quite valid in terms of European countries not paying what they've said they would pay for their defense. They've agreed at a 2014 summit to pay at least 2% of their GDP towards defense. And according to the BBC, they listed the countries that do that. There are five of them. And Poland apparently comes close. But at the same time, he's not been very diplomatic about it. Clearly antagonized a number of people. Perhaps he antagonized his wife. She didn't look too happy coming down the staircase of the plane. But anyway, that's not the point. Also, the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline, Baltic gas pipeline, that Germany was subscribing to with Russia that would bring them more natural gas. That's also been a major irritant for quite some time. And as you said, Germany has a right to buy its gas where it would like to buy it. But at the same time, we're defending them, and then they're paying this large sum of money to Russia for gas. And I believe the figure was 1.3% of their GDP towards defense when they promised that once again in 2014 to pay 2%. So a lot of issues, but at the same time, strategically, there's been a lot of friction over a lot of issues, friction over Syria. There still is that friction, and the NATO allies, certainly the French and the British, have been upset that we've been somewhat giving in to Russia over Syria, some discord over Libya as well. So, President Trump is also going to meet Vladimir Putin on Monday. In the interim, he's going to be going to Britain, where they're having their domestic issues over Brexit. So a great deal of friction, political friction, for a lot of different reasons. The Polish secretary or the Polish head of the EU, Donald Tusk, you also have to remember that when he says the U.S. does not have a lot of allies, I guess he was joking a little bit there, but he's not got a lot of friends back home in Poland either. The Polish government did not want him to be the head of the EU. So he, he's taking his own point of view out there and saying we disapprove of the United States, whereas the Polish government itself has not said that. So, you know, a lot of different things going on at the same time.
So let me just ask you this question. What is the factual argument of why we have 35,000 troops in Germany? What purpose do they serve?
They're a legacy from the Second World War.
Right. That ended in 1945. So that was, what was that? Let's see, 55 plus 18. So that was 73 years ago.
Right. But you change the chessboard if you pull them out.
How?
You change your strategic advantage or disadvantage. A lot of people would argue, I'm not necessarily saying it's true, but they would argue that you are giving a gift to the Russians by pulling your peons off the chessboard without getting anything in return. Of course, the Russians would argue that when the Berlin Wall fell in 1989, the U.S. troops had no more cause to be there either, and the Russians pulled their troops out of their side of Germany, which united in 1989. So there are a lot of different angles to the argument. But at the same time, Europe has been the scene of several major wars. In fact, going beyond the First World War, 1870, when Germany united. So major wars since 1870. France has been occupied by Germany several times. It was occupied in 1870. It was occupied parts of it during World War One. Parts of it, all of it, during World War II after 1943 when the Free Zone was occupied. So France has a lot to worry about. Britain was attacked by Germany. So there are a lot of different issues here on the ground, but who should be paying for it? That's another question. I'm not the person to decide.
Well, I think what the president is saying is, the Second World War ended, 73 years ago. And Germany reunified in 1989. So that was 30 years ago. So, why are our troops still there? And nobody can give me a valid argument. And, this idea that if we pull the troops out, that the Russians are going to invade Western Europe. I mean, it's a nonsensical argument to me. Their economy can barely survive there. Now you got the Poles asking for us for 15,000 troops. I mean, and of course, you know, the neocons and the military industrial complexers and those that, you know, make billions of dollars funding all this stuff and supplying it. I mean, they're all chomping at the bit. Yeah, let's send troops here. Let's send troops there. Just like you get to the Syria thing, Edward, and, you know, people upset that the president keeps talking about basically withdrawing from the Syrian equation and all the catastrophes that are going to happen. Look, how long did the Assad family rule Syria before the civil war or the unrest? Right? How long? The Assad family, what, 50 years? Right? Nothing happened.
1970, yeah.
Yeah, nothing happened in 50 years. All of a sudden, if somehow, if the country is reunified under Assad, it's going to be the end of the world. They ruled it for 50 years. Nothing happened. So for the life of me, Edward, I don't understand what the argument is for pulling us into conflict after conflict of which we have no strategic interest and no business being there. I can't figure it out. Help me.
Well, it's part of the strategy that our country has, or our leaders have been following for quite a while. It's part of the world order that people have been trying to erect, new world order. The Europeans have been trying to put together their European Union. The U.S. has been patiently trying to put together different alliances in Europe, different alliances in the Middle East. We've been doing that for a long time. Some people will say there are sinister reasons for it. I guess that's beyond my pay grade. But certainly, we have been trying to put together alliances on the ground for whatever reason. I don't know. A lot of those reasons may not meet the eye. But at the same time, some of the reasons are economic. You do want to have a free flow of oil from the Middle East. You do want to have countries that are not making war. You don't want the Arabs and the Israelis fighting a major world or creating a major regional war or, God forbid, a world war. And I guess when you disrupt too much of the chessboard, you could create a conflict. Now, do we want to do that? I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't create a conflict. Maybe there would be no repercussions if we removed our troops from Germany. Maybe there would be no repercussions if we completely leave the scene in Syria and Libya. Perhaps that's the case. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of having troops in Syria. And Germany, well, if they're not going to pay for those troops, perhaps we should be pulling them out.
Well, I don't think they should be in Japan either, for that matter. I mean, that's another war that ended, you know, same thing 74 years ago. Look, President Trump got elected as the great disruptor of our time. So now everybody can understand why he's disrupting things, right? We just had the call from one of our listeners, Chris, a few minutes ago, saying, I don't like when you screw around with the chessboard. Well, that's what he got elected on. He got elected on screwing around with the chessboard because it no longer makes any sense. And we keep losing chess game after chess game. After a while, you say, well, I'm going to try a different strategy and shift some of the pieces because the one I have, I keep getting checkmated by everybody in the globe. I'm done with that. That's why we elected this guy. That's what we expect him to do. That's what he's doing now in NATO. That's why his popularity continues to grow. And when he goes there and he says, look, pony up. And he says, you know, if you're listening to me anywhere in America today and it's 7:55 Eastern time and you're going to work, you have to show up for work. You got to get the job done and get paid. And if you don't, or you slack off, or you're not accountable, you're going to get fired eventually, right? Bad things are going to happen to you. So you have to be accountable, right? We have these European allies that aren't accountable to anything. They do whatever they please. They pay whatever they want. They don't adhere to the agreements we make. They take our money, then they whine because we have tariffs now because they've been screwing us for three decades. And what the president has said is, look, your free lunch is over. He's going to put America first. And this is very